Well, hello, my friends, and welcome to Hope for Your Heart. This is Pastor Calvin Corbett coming to you on a brand new year. So I want to say happy 2021 to you. And we are looking forward to a great new year. This is the year of God's grace, God's favor upon us. We are looking forward to God doing incredible things as we begin this new year. And so as we look at this new year, I want to encourage you to share the gospel in the new year. Share the gospel with anybody you come in contact with. God has given us great opportunities to share the gospel. And maybe you're asking the question, well, why must we go all out in sharing the gospel? Well, I want you to know the Bible actually commands us to share the gospel. Matthew 28, 19 to 20, God is giving us through his son, Jesus Christ, the great command to go out and make disciples of every nation, teaching them to observe all things and teaching them to be baptized and teaching them to grow in their faith. We also learn from Acts chapter 17, verse number 13, in the past, God overlooked ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. What in the world is Luke talking about? Luke is reminding us that we are in a whole new dispensation. It is actually the dispensation of grace. The dispensation of grace. That means God is dealing with his people. God is dealing with us differently. In the past, he overlooked some things, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent because of the work of Christ. God has given us this opportunity to share the gospel. Now, I want to talk to you today about a hard truth. Mark Twain, in a very humorous way, said this: we would rather deny a hard truth than face it. Denial ain't just a river in Egypt, right? As you think about it, we have been given an opportunity to share God's blessed good news, the gospel. So when you think about the power of the gospel, I want to look at the story in Luke chapter 5. And this is the story of the conversion of Peter. And I just want to read part of it, and then I'm going to give you some reasons why we should share the gospel. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesareth, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats. As a matter of fact, these two boats are actually called Jesus' boats, right? Left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, and the one belonging to Simon, and he asked him to put out a little bit into the shore. And then he sat up and he taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Now, as we look at the first part of this story, we're going to pick up the rest of it in just a few minutes. We discover that God does something very unusual through his son, Jesus Christ, and that he turns failure into success. You know, the Lord is very gracious and he protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, the psalmist said, "He saved me." When you think about how God brings about change in our lives, we can think about how God uses people to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Not too long ago, on an email in response to a person who was saved through our church, and he wrote me this story about how he came about this salvation experience. And he talked about his grandmother who had been very instrumental in his life. So this email reads this way: "Dear Pastor Calvin, I want to be giving you an opportunity to say thank you to my grandma for teaching me about Jesus. I'm also thankful for the mailman who later became my Sunday school teacher. These two people showed me at a very early age what a Christian should be like. I'm thankful to people like Ray Ricks and Gary and Bruce and others who are role models. I'm also thankful for you, my pastor, and I'm so happy to say that you teach the Bible. You answer my emails and my questions, and you set a very good example for us all to follow. You're not afraid to step on toes, to call us down, to lift us up. In reality, you're doing what you promised you would do. Thank you for keeping it real. But most of all, I'm thankful for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave me a call that I couldn't resist. I fought it, I prolonged it, I held back as long as I could, but in the end, I could not resist any longer, and my life has been forever changed." What a powerful testimony. This man who was going the wrong direction because of a grandmother and others in the church, he got on the right track. You see, faith to believe God's ways are better than our ways is what it's going to take for us to realize how we can have success. As we go back to the story of Peter and his conversion, we discover that they had been out all night, working hard, fishing all night, but they hadn't caught anything. But because Jesus said, "Let down the nets on the other side," they did it. And when they had done so, they caught so much fish, a large number of fish, that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners, and the other boat came and helped them out, and they came and they filled up the boats, and the boats began to sink. When you think about the blessings of God, you are on this path to failure, and then all of a sudden you have faith in Christ, and He turns your life around. There's a song that was written many years ago talking about the gospel and talking about the power of the gospel. There's a mother response that I got from another email that I wanted to share with you. And basically what I did is I asked our church to respond to me to people that they're grateful for who have helped them in their spiritual journey. One of our members said this, "I am forever grateful to Pearl Old for sharing the gospel with me many years ago. I did not realize at the time that her prayers would lead me to the Lord 1 year later. I was approached by a friend that I had worked with, and she had said that she and her husband had seen a movie about the rapture, and it scared them so much that they asked the Lord to come into their hearts. After she had shared this with me, she asked if I would like to come to church, and I would like to go and have a meal with two of her pastor friends. I told her yes, not knowing that that would be the time that I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord because of their witness. The surprise to me is that I had been raised as a Catholic my whole life, and I never heard the message of salvation. Oh, my friends, when you think about the power of salvation, it is a faith to believe that God's ways are better than my ways. Following God's ways will also allow us to overcome fear." In verse number 10, we see that Peter fell on his knees and he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Here's what April wrote to me as I asked that same question of, "Tell me about how you were grateful to somebody who brought you to salvation." April said, "I am forever grateful to my parents and Julie for sharing the gospel with me. I was raised in the church and I knew the basics. It wasn't until I was about 12 years old, after being confirmed in my church, that I really knew what it meant to be saved. My friend and neighbor Julie shared Jesus with me in a different way that I had known him, and she was with me when I got saved. She prayed with me, and I accepted Jesus as my Savior." Another example of God's grace. You know, we think about the purpose of sharing the gospel. We do it so that men and women who are far from God, who have no relationship with Him, can be brought into the fold. The salvation that takes place in the lives of men and women is so profound and so powerful. We hold the message and the keys to everlasting life. Well, here's the second reason you ought to share the gospel wherever you go. We talked about the first reason is because it turns failure into success. But number two, it turns sickness into health. I want us to transition and look at another story. We looked at the story of Peter and his conversion experience. But then we get down to chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. We see that Jesus reaches out and he touches the hand of somebody. And he asks this man, "Do you want to be healed?" The man says, "I am willing." And so Jesus says, "Be clean." And immediately that leprosy left him. We see this unbelievable transition that is taking place in the life of this person, all because they were willing to trust Jesus Christ. They surrendered to him. And as a result, he brought about healing. You see, our willing to be surrendered to God's will is what brings about healing. Verse number 12 says that he fell on his face to the ground and he begged him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Well, here's another email response that I got as I asked that simple question, "Who are you forever grateful for because they shared the gospel with you?" Michelle said this, "I am forever grateful for my parents' mistakes. A mistake that a doctor said was going to affect me with terrifying vision, which all led me to look for a different way. There was a teen behind that desk at a gym who introduced me to Jesus by lending me the book that he was reading. The people from Campus Crusade for Christ invited me to a first Bible study, and then my husband told me how I could understand and have a relationship with God and go to heaven. There was also the voice on the radio, don't know who it was, that led me into a salvation prayer. These are the people who intentionally or unintentionally shared the gospel with me. Now, isn't that a powerful testimony? So many times we wrongly think it's only the good things in our lives that are going to lead us to Christ. But sometimes it's those times of setback, those times of mistakes in our lives, where God reveals himself. When you think about turning sickness into health, we have this conversation with a leper, and we see that this healing brought about not only healing of leprosy, but more importantly, brought healing spiritually. You see, his healing was confirmed. In verse number 13, Jesus reached out his hand and he touched him, and he says, "I am willing, be clean," and immediately the leprosy left him. I want you to know that as you think about sharing the gospel with people in this new year, you are actually turning sickness into health. Well, here's the third reason why we ought to be sharing the gospel, and that it turns guilt into forgiveness. We talked about the fact that as we share the gospel, we bring success to failure, we turn sickness into health, and now we turn guilt into forgiveness. Well, here's what Molloy said. Who are you grateful for the person that has influenced your life and shared the gospel with you? She said, at the very start of Hickory Ridge Community Church, we were meeting at the Roarton Club. Pastor Calvin would come up to you with this hardcore question. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Are you saved? Well, yes, I'm saved. I was baptized as an infant. I was raised in the church, and I was confirmed, and I said yes to Jesus as my Savior. Then I turned away for a while, but God was sure there with me. I needed him. As I fast-forwarded, I saw that I needed to have Jesus as my Savior. I embraced him as my Savior, and I was baptized. Fast-forward again, dating, looking toward marriage. And as I see how I should be saved, and my husband-to-be, he should be saved. And as a result of both of us getting saved, now we have fewer fights. As you think about growing up, and you think about all that God has done, I was baptized in a pool, and that same morning, as I recommitted my life to Christ, I found my life partner, all because of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. You see, here we have a young lady whose life has been turned around. As a matter of fact, she is still part of our church. That was way back in 1997 when she got saved. I want you to know that God can turn this guilt into forgiveness. He can radically change your life. Now, here's a point that I think we must never forget. Sometimes you may feel like you're getting discouraged and you're wondering, why in the world should I keep on keeping on? So many people are dropping out. So many people are just going their own way. I want you to know that your faith can bless others. The faith of others blesses others. In verse number 20, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friends, your sins are forgiven." I want to encourage you today, as we begin this brand new year, look at this year as a year of faithfulness, a year of God's grace, a year of opportunity for God to use you in a very special way. Did you realize that people are depending upon you? I remember in the early days of our church, there were so many times where I said, "What difference am I making? Why should I keep on keeping on?" And then I would remember somebody like a Molloy. I'd remember somebody like a Teresa. I'd remember somebody like a Bob. I remember these people that were saved in our church, and I said, well, if I drop out, what are they going to do? If I give up, who are they going to lean on? Who can encourage them? Who can lead them? You see, you will be greatly energized as a follower of Christ. You'll be greatly empowered as a follower of Christ when you realize that the Christian life is not just about you. God wants us in community. God wants us encouraging one another. You see, one of us gets discouraged and somebody else can lift us up. I remember many years ago, I was talking to this man, and he went through a time where he had dropped out of church, and he came back to church, and I asked him, I said, well, was it a pastor that encouraged you? He said, no, I was so down. I expected pastors to encourage me, and they tried, but I figured they were paid to encourage me. He said, what encouraged me was not a pastor, wasn't a deacon, wasn't an elder, wasn't even a church leader. Who encouraged me was a guy who just went to church every Sunday. He showed up every year, year in, year out, year in, year out. Oh yeah, he served in the church, but kind of behind the scenes. He was never on the pulpit, never on the stage, never had a position of influence or affluence within the church. He called me. He says, you know, I have really missed you at church. He says, church is just not the same without you there. He says, I'd love to have you come back. I'd love to pray with you. and I just want you to know that I have really missed you. It's that simple little phone call is what turned my life around. I realized that there was somebody in that church that was really missing me. There was somebody that wasn't paid to make that call, wasn't even coerced to make that call. Nobody told him to make that call. He just did it. He reached out, and that turned my life around. You see, the faith of others will bless us. When we think about how God can move in our lives miraculous, the gospel message can also turn sinners into saints. And I want us to now look at the conversion of Matthew. Matthew chapter 5. And as we look at this conversion experience, we see that conversion requires us leaving something. It doesn't require us doing something. It requires us leaving something. And Jesus confronts Matthew. And as he confronts him, he says, "Follow me." And Levi, Matthew, got up. He left everything and follows him. What does it require? It requires us turning from sin to the Savior, leaving everything, including our own self-righteousness. You see, conversion will also involve something else. Not only do we leave everything, but we also run the risk of being misunderstood. You see, not everybody's going to be happy when we become a follower of Christ. We learn from this particular passage in this conversion of Matthew that Levi, Matthew, had a great banquet for Jesus at his house. And a large crowd of tax collectors showed up. And they were eating with him. But there's one particular group that wasn't too happy about that. They were called the Pharisees. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who belonged there to that sect, they complained to the disciples and asked this question: "Why does Jesus and his disciples eat and drink with tax collectors and with sinners?" You know, when you become a follower of Christ and you leave everything, you may be misunderstood. But I want you to know that you also will have the opportunity to have a greater influence. In verse number 32, it says, "I have come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." I want you to know that when you get saved, it is a radical experience that you enjoy. It is a radical change. It's not just a patch-up job. It's not just a patch in a hole in the pavement. It is a completely resurfaced highway. When we think about how God can change us, he changes us completely. We learn that he actually gives us a new garment. How radical salvation is, we discover from Matthew 5, verse 36, Jesus says this: "No one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it onto an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment. The patch from the new will not match the old." We discover that when we are saved, it's not just a patch on this garment. It is actually a redoing of our entire garment. I have another email that was sent in by Lisa. And again, the question I kept asking was, "Can you share with me somebody that you are eternally grateful for because they shared the gospel with you?" The whole emphasis is getting the gospel out. Share the gospel. Lisa said, "One of our family members is forever grateful for my Nana taking me to church when I was younger and to a pastor in a church in Washington State for taking and talking to me directly and taking me to God's word and sharing the gospel with me and showing how I could be saved. That was back in 1998. My life has never been the same." As we begin this new year, I want to ask you a question. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of you? I know we're all going to be in heaven because of Christ. Without Christ, we're not saved. But we are God's workmanship, created for good works. We are the mouthpiece of God. We are to share the gospel wherever we go. Will anybody be in heaven because you shared the gospel? If I ask you, would you send me an email chronicling the story of somebody who shared the gospel? Would anybody send in and say that you shared the gospel with them? That's why they're in heaven. When we think about this salvation, it's not just a patch job, not just fixing up the external. It's a completely new garment, but it's not just new wine. It's a whole new skin. So there's an internal change that takes place. In verse 37, it says, "No one pours new wine into old skins, because if he does, that new wine will burst the skins and the wine will run out and the wineskins will be ruined. You see, when we are converted, we have an inside-out job. Not only are we giving something new inside, but we're changed on the outside as well. I asked another person, or I responded to my question, who are you grateful for sharing the gospel with you? Kate said this, I'm forever grateful for everyone at Hickory Ridge Community Church for sharing the gospel with me. My husband and I were struggling very badly for years, and we knew that we needed something in our lives, but we didn't know what it was. We went to Hickory Ridge for the very first time. I was 8 months pregnant with our third child. Everyone was so welcoming and kind. We left that Sunday knowing we had found what had been desperately missing. We are beyond grateful to everyone for impacting our lives in such a major way. I can honestly call them all family. When Kate was saved, she was radically saved, and her life was changed. Well, how about you today? As we end 2020 and begin 2021, have you been genuinely born again? The Bible talks a lot about this fact about being born again. The Bible tells us that all of us are sinners. We have missed a mark. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You and I have very diverse backgrounds, and we have different talents, and we have different skills. But the one thing that we all have in common is that we're all sinners. Sin has separated us from God. It is because of sin that we have a broken life. As we look in this day and age that's coming ahead as we begin this new year, I want you to know there's a lot of broken people out there. There's a lot of confused people out there. Where does this brokenness come from? Where does guilt come from? Where does shame come from? It comes from sin. We are broken people because of sin. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death. That is eternal separation from God. Oh, but the last part of that verse says, but the gift of God is salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, God is so merciful to us. He didn't want to be separated from us. He wanted to have a relationship with us forever. So he's willing to send his one and only son to die on that cross for our sins. Today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I can't think of a better way to start the new year than to be accepting that free gift of salvation. You know, I was a six-year-old boy when I realized my need for a Savior. I will never forget the Sunday night that I was saved. You know, I don't remember a whole lot of things from my childhood, but I do remember that Sunday night at Marsh Corner Community Church in a church up in Massachusetts. The pastor, I still remember his name, Pastor Gillette. Pastor Gillette was a dear friend of ours. He was an elderly pastor, but he was the only pastor I knew at age six. And he gave a message that night, and at the end of that sermon, I remember people going forward. People walking down the aisle, and they were going up to the front of the church, and they were kneeling, and I remember asking my mom, why in the world are those people going up there? Well, she said, some of them are going up there just to pray for maybe their relatives, and maybe they know somebody who's sick and they're praying for them, and some of them going up there to recommit their life to Christ, and she said, maybe some of them going up to get saved. And I remember when she said that, I said, man, to get saved? I said, I've never been saved, and I'll never forget my mom's response. She says, you know what? That is a decision that I cannot make for you. If you'd like to be saved tonight, I want to have you walk down that aisle and the pastor will meet you. He'll shake your hand and he'll help you. So she made me walk that aisle by myself as a six-year-old boy. Of course, the church wasn't that big and everybody knew who we were. So I walked down that aisle and sure enough, Pastor Gillette came off that stage and took me by the hand and says, hey, Cal, so glad you came forward tonight. How can I help you? And I said, I want to be saved. And I remember my Sunday school teacher, Mrs. Banks, took me to a side room, and she opened up the Bible, and she read John 3:16. She put my name in John 3:16. You see, I had memorized that verse because my dad made me memorize that verse as a kid. I was probably 3 years old when I memorized John 3:16. But Mrs. Banks put my name in that verse. She says, God so loved Calvin that he gave his only begotten son, that if Calvin should believe in him, Calvin should not perish but have everlasting life. I pray to receive Christ in that side room of that church those many years ago. You know, that was a long time ago that I prayed to receive Christ. And then a couple years after that, I was baptized. And then a couple years after that, I committed my life to full-time ministry. And I want you to know that I have had no regrets accepting that free gift of salvation. I have never regretted that. I am so glad for what Christ has done for me. He has blessed me far beyond my wildest imagination. I want you to know He'll do the same thing for you if you'll simply call upon Him. The Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. The Bible tells us that if you will call upon His name, you will be saved. So right as you're listening to this broadcast today, would you say a simple prayer? Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Come into my heart, save my soul. You know what? He'll do it. He'll change your life. He will bring about success in your life. He'll allow your faith to increase. He'll allow your influence to increase. And He's never going to leave you, never going to forsake you. Oh, my friend, would you begin this new year by knowing Christ as your Savior? And if you made that decision, would you call me at 757-421-7500? God bless you. Thank you for listening.
Hickory Ridge Community Church is located at 3220 South Battlefield Boulevard, Chesapeake, Virginia. Sunday service times are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. We'd love for you to join us. For more information, you go to our website at www.hrcc7.org. No matter what you're going through, remember, in Jesus Christ, there is always hope for your heart.